You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moccasin and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Super duper, pal. Just super duper. I'm feeling like...
That's what I say.
Oh, hey, I'll tell you what. You know, if you're going to feel miserable and feel like the shits, who's going to care anyway? So I look at it, every day's a good day. As long as I
wake... Every day's a toddy day.
You bet. When I wake up in the morning, my eyes open, and I know I'm in this side of the ground, hell, I'm feeling like $1 million.
That's what I do. I get up in the morning and say, hey, I got a cold. I'll have a toddy.
Look, hey, what'd you think of old Davy Jones of the monkeys passing on, huh?
I know. I can't believe it.
You know, here's a guy that, picture of health. He's on a, did that tour with the other two guys, and they were going to come out and do a tour somewhere else, and my gosh, living down there in the sunny skies of Florida, gets a heart attack. You never know, do you, Bill?
No, you don't. Hey, Cody, you just dialed in. I'm going to mute you out, and we'll bring you on here in a couple minutes, okay?
All right.
So it's an amazing thing, isn't it? It just blows
me
away
sure
every time I stop and think about what the hell's going on in this world. But I'm going to tell you, have you guys been seeing what's going on? Tornadoes are hitting. in the Midwest.
God, yeah.
Missouri, Kansas. I know it's Tornado Alley and all that, but my God, people are dying. Devastation hitting. Weather, who the hell knows, one day from the next.
Well, a cold spell in Europe, 450 people claimed here about a week ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a tsunami that just hit, and then there was an earthquake of 6.8 magnitude, you know, over there in one of the islands. Is it coming to pass, what they're predicting? I don't even know anymore, Bill. My God, I'll tell you this. The birds don't know if it's springtime, winter, fall, or summer. The damn
well, the Bigfoot hotline has been just busy, and that means those little old creatures don't know what the hell they're doing out there.
Exactly. That's my whole point. Nobody knows what... Do we zig today or do we zag?
I know.
Nobody knows, do they? You know, I was talking to some of my good folk back there in California, and they told me, my God, Tom, it's in the 70s. I says, you're kidding. Oh, yeah. But they know when I'm coming back, they know that the rain's going to happen. So I don't know what the hell to think, but I'm looking at different parts of the country, and there's these big blossoms coming out when it's still wintertime. I don't know, Bill. I don't know what to say any longer. I really don't, because from one day to the next, this weather is confusing as hell. I want to tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something straight up. I got a couple of guys on tonight that are old school. They're the people who were on the line in the fronts, in the trenches with me when I began on a full-time basis 7 years ago. Yeah, I'm talking about the real troopers, the real guys that put the boots on the grounds and forget about the bullshit. We got Roger Patterson with us, Roger Peterson with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I got Roger Patterson on the brain. Roger Peterson was the guy that in our first movie, Bigfoot Lives. You all remember him. He wrenched at your heart. You remember when he told everybody that he had his family to protect. We also got my brother from up there on the Blackfeet Reservation, Bruce Schilt. We got him with us tonight. Without any further ado, though, we're going to get out there to Tennessee and talk to our newfound friend, Cody. He's going to tell us what happened with his visual encounter that he had. Cody, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, how are you tonight? Thanks for sharing, taking from your family and being with us tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, I'm doing pretty good right now.
Well, that's great, Cody. Tell us what happened. When did this all take place and what transpired, and welcome to the world of Sasquatch, young man.
Well, it started out back in October, just camping trip, you know, nothing new, but, you know, just pretty strange night, you know, started out with a joke and kind of progressed out and was pretty much reality.
Well, tell us exactly what happened. You were out in a camping trip. Who was with you? What kind of day was it? Was it hot, cold? What were you doing? Were you going fishing? Did you go hiking? Tell us everything.
All right. Well, it started out, you know, getting the bags ready. It was me with my buddy JT and my buddy Matt. Matt lives down in Georgia. And, but it was over here in Turner Park with me. So we decided to go out, you know, off here, Hicks and Saudia area, where the creek runs down off Mowbray Mountain and, you know, through Saudi. And, camp trip, you know, we went out, set up fire, set up camp. Well, we went on, you know, a little firewood hunt. You know, went and got firewood, stuff like that. And we heard something, you know, and I got down on a knee and turned my headlamp out, and I told them to be quiet real quick. You know, I didn't know if there was anybody out there with us or what. And then, you know, I heard a couple little things. And then, you know, after a couple seconds, I just let it go on about. And then we walked up through the area that it went. We found a new cool campsite. So I was like, all right, you know, we're going to go back. grab our stuff, bring it over here. Well, we stomped fire out, poured water on it, you know. Well, we get there, we get settled in, you know, about 45 minutes into it, we're like, what's that? You know, 30 degrees. And we've seen our fire had kicked back up, and it blazed, and it was just, you know, somebody set it back up, which I still don't know how to explain that, but we went back over there, put it out. We got to think about it. It was like, you know, we poured a lot of water on this and separated it out. There's no human, no physical way possible for it to kick back up like that. We got further into the night, you know, coyotes, or I guess it was coyotes. We never seen anything. So we started getting out of there because it started getting into a pretty crazy night. We didn't want to get into it with the coyotes. And coming out to this big tree line past through the creek, we're about to go out in this big open field. My buddy stops. He's colorblind, can't see good in the dark. He said he'd seen something, you know, big and whatever, but he was kind of quiet about it. And so we went ahead and walked back out. And then coming back out, we looked back into the tree line. We see a big silver thing, you know, human-shaped. And the tree we walked under was about 8-9 feet. You know, we knew it was pretty tall. We see this thing walking under it, and it bends over. And, you know, first, you know, we thought maybe trick playing on our eyes or whatever, but what got us is, you know, the swinging of the arms, now human-like it was. And, you know, after we seen that, you know, we kind of hightailed it out. And, well, we'd sit and hung out at the Waffle House, and I'd made a quick joke about, you know, just, you know, Bigfoot Sasquatch. It was just kind of a joke, you know, because, you know, we didn't believe nothing like that before. And, well, next couple of days, I was like, I'm curious to see what I'm saying. So I started doing some research. So I typed in about 9-foot-tall silver, you know, creature or whatever. Well, lo and behold, come up Sasquatch, and I started doing more research about it. And the identical results, you know, were just amazing about the size and how they seen it, and exactly the time of the year, maybe 2 days off and a year apart from each other, and same weather conditions, everything. I mean, it was crazy. And then, you know, that was 3 people who saw it that day. You know, we all counted what we seen afterwards. And, well, a couple months later, we'd start talking around to people about it. You know, have you seen anything like this? And I found 2 other people, you know, that said they've seen it, you know, about the same area, just farther down back into the woods and more. And talked to this lady. She has a pond out back behind her house. And lately, past couple months here, we've got these ghillie suits, you know, we like to mess around in them and stuff. And she's been accusing us of us going in there and stealing over her fish. But when we was talking to her one day, she was like, she kind of wasn't sure. And we'd asked her, you know, what we looked like or whatever. She told us, you know, Big looks like we was wearing ghillie suits, but she said it was way bigger than us. And another account, my buddy, we'd been telling him about this stuff. And, you know, he didn't believe us. Well, he's out there in the woods, and he sees a full face of, you know, the Sasquatch. And he had heard the sound, you know, kind of sounds like your gorilla going crazy, and then like kind of a whistling noise, or maybe like a fawn or something like that of a deer. And that, well, he ran to my house, and he's like, dude, you know, I didn't believe you, whatever. And I was like, well, we're going to go back out there tonight, you know, we're going to go look around. And well, we took the noises that we've heard, and we're calling those out. And, well, we actually got a couple responses. I wish I could have got it on, recorded it or taped it. It was amazing. And, well, you know, it started making noises back at us. We started trying to follow it back in, but eventually we lost it. And, actually, the next day, me and my buddy JT, with the one that went on the camping trip with us, we went and walked back through the areas. And we'd actually found a footprint, but it had rained, and it, you know, kind of messed it up a little bit. But we could tell it wasn't human or wasn't no normal animal. It was just a huge footprint, you know, and we'd just little stuff. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, big branches broken, you know, that we've seen that, you know, live branches, looks like they twisted it off and, like, threw it on the ground. I mean, nothing natural is going to do that. But, yeah, that's pretty much my old story, you know, or testimony.
Well, listen, at least you come forth. There's a lot of people out there, Cody, that won't speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of people that need to get it off their shoulders and off their minds because it's been, you know, picking at them all these years. At least you've got the audacity to come out here and tell everybody on, and the balls to come out and say, hey, man, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. There's a lot of people out there that they'll sit and deny it and call you a quack or a nut or, you know, and all that kind of stuff. When you came back in from your camping trip, did you tell anybody or did you keep it to yourself?
Well, we told the lady at the Waffle House, you know, she kind of made fun of us a little bit, but, you know, we went around, you know, talking to people that lived in the ferry for a long time, and they've been given a similar stories back, but, you know, a little different areas. It was kind of astounding, and, I mean, you know, I knew the show was coming up. I was hoping I could get some of them to talk, but they didn't really want to talk about it or nothing like that.
And you do know the reason why they don't want to talk.
Yeah, they're probably scared of what people are going to say about them. Or
exactly. By the way, what's the weather like down in your neck of the woods?
It's been pretty warm. It's, you know, raining today. 60 degrees all day.
Pretty different, isn't it, than it's been last year or the year before, huh?
Oh, yeah.
It's really whacked out. A lot of people don't, they can't understand it, nor can I. And just think about these creatures, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think's going through their mind when they normally think that, you know, the weather changes this way and we should be going that way? And then when it don't change, they're going back the other way. They're all confused too, aren't they?
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, creatures, I know they're very smart. They can adapt. I'm pretty sure they're trying to adapt to, you know, the, I guess you'd say spring weather. I guess it's really messing with their heads and they don't know what to do, so they're kind of I wouldn't say a vulnerable state, but a, you know, kind of semi-fused, like they don't know where they're at.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head. Well, look here. Just mute yourself out, Cody. There's a whole lot more show ahead of us.
Okay.
And thanks again for being with us, sharing some of your evening with us, okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
And you have a great night, okay?
You.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Cody from Tennessee. You know, it's I don't care where the state is in this lovely nation of ours. There is about to be a sighting somewhere or another. But what we need to do here is let's go to commercial there, Cowboy Bill.
You darn a tootin'.
Okay, partner.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And Tom, it's back to you, and I got to say something about this. Last week I had a couple of phone calls and conversations with some of our listeners or followers, and both of them were talking about the anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. They'd just seen it, and they told me that the They told me that before they were looking on the internet and all the sludge and smudge and grudge that's on there about it, and everybody thinking they know what took place and all the, you know, all the wrong directions, everything else. And then when they seen the movie, they said it was an eye opener. And so we got some valued listeners because of that little old movie, and they're out there spreading the good word.
You know, that's a good thing, Bill, and that's the reason why I love for everybody out there in the world to take a look at it, okay? Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, ladies and gentlemen, is there for one reason. It's to tell the world the truth and what happened. It's the continuation of the stuff that you did not see. You saw it was the seventh largest story in the world that year. You know, it kept everybody at the edge of their chair. And everybody never knew what the continuation or the climax or the ending was, except the ones that were being hoaxed. And, of course, we were taken for a lot of money and a lot of time, and like he says, the grudge and mud and it slinging and all the crap that we went through. And, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't easy for any of us, okay, any of my guys that were with me. But those who were there know the truth. And what you see in that movie, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, tells it all. And remember one thing. Film does not lie, ladies and gentlemen. That was called actuality. It actually happened right there. Well, let's see. Where are we going next, Marco? Are we going to Virginia or are we going to go to Arizona?
Well, Virginia got the flu.
Virginia's got
the flu. Okay. So I thought what we'd do is we'd probably go to Tyrone.
Oh, fantastic. My good buddy in Mississippi. All right, let's do that. Tyrone, you're out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, first of all, my condolences, my staff's condolences, my team's condolences, and hopefully the world's condolences. I hear that your father passed.
He did, 2 weeks ago.
Was that just recently?
Yeah, just 2 weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that, Tyrone. And we thank you, though, for
about a week
letting us know, and all of us out there in the Bigfoot world, I'm sure, extends there. Let me take the leadership in this and ask for your condolences, our condolences to you and your family.
Well, thank you.
Anything that we can do, we're here for you.
Well, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. I know that you just started a new job, and you've been spearheading this new thing out there with the Bigfoot research on our behalf, and we love you for that. Let me tell you straight up, and to go through something like this is a real tough situation. I know I've been there, and many other people out there have been in your shoes. But in any event, on the lighter side of life, I hear there's still activity going on out there like crazy.
Oh, well, I think the last sighting was maybe a little more than a month ago, in January, I believe it was. And my sister said that she was coming home late at night, you know, driving toward that little road going toward my mother's, and she spotted this creature walking into the woods with a deer on his shoulder. And it's mind-boggling because you know how fast deer run. And it just makes me wonder how this creature can actually catch a deer. And it must be pretty fast itself, you know. Ever since you came here and brought your trailer, it had Bigfoot Incorporated on the side of it. Many people had seen the trailer, and many people had asked me about it. And since you were here, people have been coming out and telling me their story, and they've telling me either they know of somebody who's sighted the Bigfoot creature, or they've sighted it themselves, you know. So, you know, it's just people are talking about it. And I heard just the other night, this old fella was telling me that this one fella sighted a Bigfoot right across the BP store, which is just probably down the hill from my mother's house, you know, and that creature has been sighted many times around that area. And my mama and my niece and my sister has all had several sightings since December, but especially my niece Jessica has sighted it three times in the past 3 years, and this creature seems to be coming about in that same location like just once a year, you know. So, but here this last December, it was seen several times, and even my friend Gary Tubby, he saw the creature standing by the bridge, and I showed you where the bridge was, and he said that particular one looked orange in color, but the one that my mother sighted 9:30 in the morning, cutting across the yard, she said that it looked dirty, and it was brown, but it looked dirty, like it had mud or dirt all over it, you know. And he was walking, and he had his head hung down, and his arms were swinging, and they said they watched it for about a minute before it disappeared into the woods. And my sister, a few days later, said she sighted not just one, but several through the woods. She was driving home, and when the headlight, you know, shined through the woods, she saw all these eyes, you know, look like red eyes, and there was two tall creatures. She said she saw the face of one, and it turned and walked away, and the other one followed it, and then there was these little creatures, she thought, followed the two big creatures, you know. So there seems to be a family of it roaming around. And after you remember going to the Lake Pushmataha, where the forest ranger took us over there.
I remember it well.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of months now. Some people were out there fishing, and it had rained, but it was, you know, the mud had caked up, and they saw these huge footprints, you know, in the mud, you know, but the mud was all dried up. So it's still roaming around, and hopefully you folks can come over here and do your research. And I believe that if you were to, your organization would come and you know, let people know that you're around, I believe that more people will come out and share their stories. And these creatures are very real, and I've had my own experience back in 1972, and I've always been interested in it. The first time I saw the Patterson film, and lo and behold, I never thought that I was going to have a experience with it. And then years later, here my mother and my sister and my nieces have sightings of their own. So you know, we just need experts like people in your organization to come and see what's going on again, you know.
You know, I want to thank you for that, Theron, and I'm going to tell you straight up right now, mark your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Because my boys are coming out on the week of the 26th of March.
March, okay.
I got you scheduled for that week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, I have some friends that seem to be interested in, scouting around, you know.
Well, that, you need to get them prepared now. And by the way, it wouldn't be too bad that maybe you can get us some kind of lodging there. This gives you almost a month now. We'll give you three and a half weeks to...
In the month of March, I don't know what days are available, but I just got a promotional from the casino, and they're giving me a three consecutive nights, you know. So I'm sure that.
What's that nice woman that we met in charge of their promotion?
Let me see now. It's Simpson. No, I forgot her first name.
What you need to do is get a hold of her and tell her I'm coming. My crew is coming, and call me because she wanted to work with me. Remember last time?
Okay.
But this time we get some definite dates, and we got you on the calendar because March is the month that we're starting to head out. Going out because of the migration period here.
Yeah. I'm sure that you can use the promotional, the free 3-night stay, you know. I could donate that, you know.
Well, that would be wonderful. But I'd like to talk to her, and let's see where we can go from there, getting her and the tribe behind us here, okay?
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing right now. I want to get when we go with the Apaches and the Cherokee and the Cree and the Navajo and the Blackfeet, they come out in droves.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to support the res and the people, and especially us being out there with them because we're on the front lines with them. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think it would be nice if we could organize a community meeting or something like that.
I think that would be excellent. We need to do that. Get everybody to come out and support this thing because we'll be out there and make it all happen for you. Again, our condolences to you and your family. We're there for you. Anything we can do, we're there for you. Why don't you mute out? I suggest you mute yourself out and listen because these next two fellas coming on, they're part of our family, my man. And you're going to hear some emotional stories, a roller coaster ride in Arizona. You're going to hear another brethren up there in the Blackfeet community up there in Montana.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Mr. Jill.
Give our regards and respect to Mama and your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you soon. You hear?
All right. It'll be March 26th, the week of March 26th.
Yeah, you tell. And get everybody prepared and ready.
All right. I'll be working on it.
I hope to hear from you soon. I know you've got a terrible time that's ahead of you, that you've got all this other problems, but you know the date now, okay?
All righty.
Be well. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Ron over there in the Mississippi, on the reservation over there. He's one hell of a guy. He's gone through some personal problems, just like so many of us do. But nevertheless, we all get over it. Life still goes on. I'll tell you something about my next guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's been out on expeditions with me and my crew. We've been out to his areas where he's had an encounter. You've seen him in Bigfoot Lives 1. He's the Arizona situation there. I think it was Gilbert. I'm not sure. Over there by the dam. And he had an emotional experience. He had shot at these creatures. Protect him and his family. And some friends that were with him. If you go out and buy Bigfoot Lives, you'll see this this whole episode. And I'll tell you what, it keeps you at the edge of your chair. And when you see how emotional he gets, you get just as emotional yourself. It's been labeled as one of the top episodes ever in the Bigfoot world. My friend, my brother, Roger Peterson. Roger, you out there?
Hey, Tom.
How you doing, son?
I'm doing okay, my brother. You are definitely correct, my brother. This is the time that they're on the move. My son recently moved down to Buckeye, close to Gila Bend, and he told me that in this last week he has seen so much movement going through there, heading up toward Flag, and it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy right now. You know, I don't know if you're experiencing any of these weather changes and climate changes like we are all over this country. It's crazy, man. I've never seen anything this wild. By the way, did you get the new movie?
Yes, sir. I just got it today, and I can't wait to watch it.
Good. Well, you notice that when you talk, everybody listens and get things hopping, and you got it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I sure did. And I just want people to know that I was one of those, my brother, until I met you 7 years ago, that I was ridiculed and just run out of town because of all the ridicule and everything, that it was so bad. But when I got a hold of you, you gave me the strength to come out with it, you know, and I really do appreciate that, my brother.
You know, I got to tell you, Roger, and when I had told all our listeners out there, and as you know it, you know, nothing can equal the Bigfoot Lives, even though the people are kind and they say Bigfoot Lives 2 is just as good, if not better, and they're saying Bigfoot 3 is probably just as good as Bigfoot 2. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, that was my first major documentary that really I put my heart into. I mean, there was two others prior to that, but nothing like what we did there by traveling all over the country. And you know the episode I'm talking about. So without any further ado, if you don't mind, I would love for you to reenact for our listeners around the world, for them to hear what happened to you and your family when you went out there and what happened that frightful night.
You betcha, Tom. I remember it to this day like it was yesterday. And it was the 15th of May, 1987, at Painted Rock Dam. Me and Jim Jordan and our two boys, Jimmy and Charlie, and my best friend, Daryl, we were out on a fishing trip. And, I mean, we had been all week planning it, you know, and we just had fish on our mind, you know. And we got out there. It was about 5:30, just starting to get towards dusk, you know. And we saw all these crazy three-wheelers and four-wheelers going by with people on them up on top of the dam and everything. And we were like, well, what's going on, you know? And we had no idea. We walked right into the middle of it. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was laying back in the rocks, and I had my little 410 topper beside me, shotgun. And I was the only one out there that was armed, you know, of all of us. And I'm laying back in the rocks with a full moon, you know. And all of a sudden, it got dark. And I'm looking up over my head. It's about 3 feet up to the top where the plateau was. And right there, standing right above me, was a female Bigfoot, you know. And I said to myself, I said, great. I said, that's all I need is a frickin' Bigfoot. I thought I was dreaming, you know, but it was a female Bigfoot. I mean, I could tell. You could see the breast, everything. She was just silhouetted, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And after that, she dove off in the bushes when I alerted everybody, right behind us, you know. And all of a sudden, in the little pond out in front of us that was about 25 feet across, came out this big, huge, 9.5 foot tall Bigfoot. And he had shoulders that were about 4.5 feet wide, Tom. And those eyes, I'll never forget them. I was just petrified, you know. And we were sitting there wondering, well, what do we do now? I had my little 410, and everybody was grabbing sticks to try to make spears and, you know, trying to defend ourselves. Because he was menacing, you know. And all of a sudden we saw off to our left a little one. Now, you got to admit, imagine this. We were in a box canyon, okay? No way out. They were blocking it. And I remember the lantern was about to go out, and, I mean, we had the bright light, and that was the only thing holding them back. I told the guys, hey, build the fire up as high as you can. Let's get the lantern refueled and get it back up, you know, because we had one of those Colemans. And we were having flames that were going 8 feet in the air, Tom. And when that light went out, he charged. I was dumping shots over his head. And let me tell you what, the warning shots do not work. He just kept coming. And finally, I was at point-blank range, I mean less than like 10 to 15 feet, and I just dropped down in the middle of his chest, and I fired. He hunched over, grabbed on his right side, up around by his chest, and he stopped, dead in his tracks. In the meantime, we got the light going again, and he was just standing there looking at me, like, why did you shoot me, you know? And he turned full body towards the edge of the cliff that was in front of us. Then he turned right back at me, turned all the way completely around, and he shot through that 25 feet across of that lake that was up to me. It was on my neck. But to him, it only went about his waist. And he shot through it like it was a hot knife through butter. And he crashed through the trees, and then he made a god-awful yell that just chills you to the bone, you know? And I had to do something. I mean, I took him in there. It was my fault. And all I can say is thank God that we held together and that we came out of it, you know? But it is just burned into my memory, and I will never forget it, you know. And I am so grateful for you that you believed in me, and you came out and you saw that I was not lying. I was telling the truth.
And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, his experience that he had was real. He did experience what he says he experienced, what he went through. Man's been out on 3 or 4 expeditions with us. He's loyal as hell. And I'm going to tell you something about his loyalty. He's had a bunch of people call him since that TV show is out there, and they want to come out and film him and his story and everything else. And why don't you tell everybody what you tell them?
I told him, I said, I don't think so. They're trying to tell me, you know, we want you to be here. We're going to put you on TV and all this kind of stuff. And I just tell him, you know, hey, look, you know, this is something that is between me and Pop. And if he's not invited, I'm not.
That's called loyalty, son. I really love that, believe me, and thank you for it, you know. But remember one thing, I'd never stand in your way,
If there was any monetary gain for you to get, for you and your family, go for it. I don't want anything to do with these people. As a matter of fact, they emailed me today, believe it or not. These people got a lot of gall and asked me about the state up above you in New Mexico, because they saw our films. They saw our newscasts, and you've been in a few of those yourself when they've come out to film us.
And I sure have.
And nobody can touch that stuff. That's real, man.
That's
actuality.
Right.
You ain't going to get better than that, okay?
Bob, it's just like when we went through that tornado right there at Patnaise Lake, and God was good to me, and even though my camera got ruined, I still was able to get that one shot of the female with the baby, remember?
You know, people don't realize that. You know, they think that this is all mirrors and smoke. We were out there, ladies and gentlemen, with five teams. A tornado hit us, and people are sitting there saying, oh, that was all bullshit, okay?
No, sir, I was there.
Some of the teams had encounters. Some of them had rock clapping. They had tree knocking. They saw the creatures moving quickly. But yet,
they listened to the broadcast, the special broadcasts. Three of the five teams had a visual encounter.
You remember that, don't you, Bill?
Absolutely. They cornered a female. In fact, one of the teams cornered a female. It was hidden behind a rock, stooping down, and they were going towards it, and all of a sudden, out of the other side of the woods, rocks started flying at them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I remember that, Bill. I remember it.
People have no clue. Unless they were in the elements, the wind, the rain, the howling all night, we couldn't have fires, ladies and gentlemen, to keep ourselves warm, okay? As a matter of fact,
we were out there in pitch dark.
Yeah, didn't your tent roll away in the wind?
Yes, sir, with me in it, and I wound up in the lake.
That's right. I remembered that. I just remembered that now. And, you know, and here we are hunkering down by these large trees, some of the people tied up to the trees so they wouldn't get blown away.
Yes,
we
sir.
We
experienced it firsthand, Pop.
You bet we did. You bet we did. You know, I got to tell you, I know you get emotional because what's happened to you, and people don't realize it unless they're there, okay? That's the whole thing. On any of the step that we had, those weren't reenactments, ladies and gentlemen. That's happened right when we were there, just like
yes,
any of our movies. And let me tell you something else.
You don't
put our movies out there in a film festival. And if they're no good, you're not going to win. Why is it, Roger, that all three that I've entered, we've won every time? How come?
Because it's the truth, Pop.
Because it's real and people enjoyed it. That's why.
Right.
Okay.
And you know what? The funny thing that you're forgetting about, if you remember that one night that we were out there on the lake, and we had those big giant spotlights, and we got that creature right across the lake, remember?
Oh, my God, that's right.
Remember that?
With the news reporter.
She was
With the radio show going, we could hear the scream, remember?
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's exactly right. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yes. I remember that like it was yesterday, Pop.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we've gone through so much together. People don't realize it. But you know what? Those who've been there with us, know the truth, know what we've been through.
Oh, you bet you like that.
It is, we're going to continue on, my brother.
That's right, my brother. You know, like Rex and Chuck and Greg and all those guys, I mean, they're wonderful people, and I mean, they're all a part of my family, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. And you know what? Those crazy ones, stay away from, believe me.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
There's an awful lot of them out there, brother.
You betcha.
Yeah, listen, do me a favor. Before we get to our next guest, mute yourself out because you're going to hear what's going on up there in Montana, okay?
Okay, you got it, Pop.
Be well. Let me know what you think of Bigfoot Lives 3, okay?
You bet I will.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, Roger from Arizona. He's been a part of our family since the beginning, 7 years ago. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
And here we go.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And Tom, it's back to you.
Thank you, Bill. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that started it all for Searching for Bigfoot. This is the one that you'll find the episode of Roger Peterson. And I'll tell you what, if you've never seen it, it is gripping. I'm telling you straight up, you need to see it. This is the one that they all said that made Bigfoot Lives 1 when they saw Roger. We were out there, ladies. You'll see, you're going to see the petroglyphs with the Indians, what they drew, this giant creature back in them days. That wasn't just brought around. It's been there for eons. This man had a story, and he told it with us. Not many people believed him, but we did. And the way he tells it will bring tears to your eye. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going out to see our other brother. We're going up there to Montana, Blackfeet Land. My good old brother, Bruce Shelt. Bruce, you out there?
I am, Tom. Greetings.
Greetings to you, brother. Could you believe that? You know the story I'm talking about now, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do. I saw it.
Everybody that sees that episode of In Bigfoot Lives 1 just cringes and they go to their feet. They say, my God, that poor man, what he had to endure.
Yeah.
And it's emotional. It's an emotional roller coaster ride, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, you know what, Bruce? I got to tell you something. I get calls now and then, and nobody seems to tell the story better than you. Why don't we wrap up this last segment of our show and tell everybody how you and I met because of you going out there in the month of January, taking the kids out over there by that lake. Tell them the whole story from the beginning to the end.
Okay, it was a nice day, and there was no snow on the ground, and the kids were skipping rocks on the lake. They didn't want to go home, so we were just playing around the lake, and our little girl, Tony, she was walking around the lake, and she started hollering at me about she found some Bigfoot tracks, or some Bigfoot tracks, and I went over and looked at them, and sure enough, that's what they were. They looked like human feet, only they were about 10 times the size of a man. There's 22 inches, I believe. And we took some pictures of them, and we showed them around a little bit, and then the Glacier Reporter, our little newspaper, got a hold of it, and they put the pictures in the paper and wrote a little story about it. And then I guess that's when you got a hold of the story and came over and checked out the tracks and checked out the pictures. And there was a fresh Bigfoot track right over the top of the old tracks there. And that's how everything got started. But last week, there was a guy that I worked with. He took a picture of a Bigfoot track. You know the Circle R Motel where you guys stayed in East Glacier?
Mm-hmm.
About a mile down the road from where you guys stayed, he showed me this Bigfoot track. It was in the snow. This was this last week. Matter of fact, he was supposed to be on with me tonight, but I don't know what happened to him. Couldn't get a hold of him. But anyway, I looked at the picture. I thought maybe it might be the same track that I took a picture of. But I couldn't tell. It was in the snow, and it was really defined that good. But there's been all kinds of stories just since last fall. In Donna found a track over west of the house there, and a couple hunters were found a bunch of bones and Bigfoot tracks all around the tree around there. We went and checked it out. We saw one track, but I don't know if we found the exact spot. Another guy was, Bigfoot was looking in his window harassing him. That's just down the road from Hiram's there. And a couple cowboys got harassed. You know, they were getting cows out of the brush. And I got a call 6 o'clock that morning that there was a Bigfoot up there harassing those cowboys. We went up there and checked that out, and we didn't find anything. And then just over the ridge here, there's another tourist who was unloading his trailer or something, and there was a native helping him, and there was a Bigfoot standing in the brush line watching him, I guess. And you know, there's been a lot of stories around here, and all around us, we're right in the middle of it, but we haven't seen no Bigfoot, but we know they're here because everybody's seen them, and you know, getting harassed and everything else by him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Brother Bruce?
Uh-huh.
Get your pencil and paper ready, because the 16th of April, I'm sending a crew up there. And you've got between now and then getting everything together, because they're going to be out there for at least a month with you.
16th of April?
16th of April.
Okay. Yeah, I'll write that on the calendar.
All right, so I'm depending on you putting this all together now, okay?
Yeah, they've been asking about you, and matter of fact, they want some movies to buy your latest movie.
Okay.
And so.
Well, we'll bring a supply up with us, and if they want them sooner, just call me up later on, and we'll arrange that also. But I'll tell you right now that we're planning up. I'm going to send a crew up there for a whole month.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad, because that's what you need. You need a little time to learn the layouts in the different places where they've been sighted. And
okay, you just let everybody know, and we know we need to get the res behind us. Okay, so. Work something out for the lodging and everything for us. It's in your hands, brother.
I'll start tomorrow. Well, I've been all along, but you know, tomorrow I'll tell them that for sure you're coming out for a month.
That's right. We need some help in there on their behalf, okay? And okay. We'll be there to make it all happen with them.
Okay.
God bless you, my brother. Say hello to everybody. Say hello to Tony and Little Bear, and of course to your lovely bride.
And by the way, I haven't got my movie yet.
Did you send it out yet? Well, get the address over to Bill, and I'll have the fulfillment house send it out to you.
Okay.
Okay.
You got it. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Take care.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Schilt up there in the Blackfeet country. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. I'll see you soon, too. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for